is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, our weekly in-depth look at the COVID-19 topics. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Dr. Bob, here we are again, and let's talk about our local cases. What have you seen today?
Well, we're still reporting a lot of cases today. This has been far and away our worst month ever. In fact, we have as many cases in August, almost as many cases as we had the whole time until this August. So over 4,000 cases this month. Today, we're going to be reporting 137 new cases, although that number may be under because some of the new cases are testing at home and they're not telling us about it, or they're pretty sure they have it because everyone else at home has it and they're not getting counted. We have 109 Douglas County residents currently hospitalized. 109. That's far and away our highest time ever. There are 80 of those at Mercy. And then they're scattered around at Peace Health, at OHSU, at the Portland VA, out of state, and Sante. So this is really, really a tough time. And we have four new deaths today.
In fact, yesterday, and because the county and the state compiles the data on a slightly different time frame, and the state report yesterday was Friday to Sunday, we actually had the most deaths of any county in Oregon on the state report that came out yesterday.
Well, that again is shocking, terrifying, but not surprising. We have an older population and a very high case count. And the combination of those two things means that we're going to have a lot of deaths.
So four more deaths reporting today. Now, the number of cases are coming down very slowly. Do you see that as a trend?
Well, I hope that's a trend. We know in other places that have had Delta outbreaks, 6 or 8 weeks into their thing, they come down, and they come down slowly. We're about 5.5 weeks into it, so we're hoping this is a downward trend. But when we have a downward trend in cases, hospitalizations stay high for a while, and deaths stay high for a while.
It's kind of like a roller coaster of going through different phases, it seems like.
It certainly is a roller coaster, and this is the terrifying rise.
So for the hospitalizations surging, I mean, 109, there's really nothing to compare this to.
There's really nothing to compare this to. I mean, in the past, when we had a lot, we thought 20 was a lot in the hospital. 109 is just breathtaking. And when I look at the ages, it's amazing. When I looked the other day, there were 15 people throughout the state from Douglas County who were on ventilators. They were all younger than me. So there was no one older than me on a ventilator. These were people in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s who were on ventilators. And we know that when somebody gets sick enough to be on a ventilator, they have a high chance of dying. But even if they survive, they're really so weak for such a long time.
So where are we at on hospital capacity? I mean, obviously, a lot of folks are having to go out of the area.
So a lot of people are having to go out of the area. Thankfully, there are not a lot of cases in Portland right now. So the Portland hospitals are not filled with people with COVID, and so they're able to take some of our excess patients. Mercy's done an incredible job at making extra space. They've opened up a ward on the surgery center. They've expanded their ICU. But I think they are about at their limit when they have 80 or 85 COVID patients.
And in fact, we've had the National Guard here for several days. FEMA expected to be here soon. How intense is this getting?
I don't think it could get much worse. So it's getting incredibly intense when you have National Guard here, when you have morgue trucks, when you have bringing people from all over the country to help you out. It really is pretty dire.
So are the vaccination numbers up at all?
Well, the vaccination numbers are up. We added about 1,000 new vaccinees this week, which was great. And the vaccine is still working. So if we look at the 109 who are in the hospital, only 6 of the 109 are fully vaccinated. 103 of the 109 are not vaccinated. And since among our adult population, about 53% are fully vaccinated, according to the CDC. So of the 53% that are vaccinated, there are 6 in the hospital. Of the 47% that are not vaccinated, there's 103 in the hospital. Those numbers are stunning, suggesting that being vaccinated reduces your risk of hospitalization tenfold.
Do you see, and I know the CDC number and the county number, because of how the vaccinations are given out on the federal level, we're not totally sure, doesn't sound like, still, how many people in the county are fully vaccinated?
Well, the numbers are slightly off, and they are off by just a few percent, but they're really coming close. So there are three numbers we follow. One of the numbers is the number of people 16 and above who've gotten one dose of vaccine. We're at about 60%. We look at the number of people 18 and above who have are fully vaccinated. That's they've gotten one dose of the J&J or two doses of Pfizer and Moderna. The CDC suggests that's 53. I think it's a little higher, but it's right in that range. And then we look at the entire population to see what percent is vaccinated, and that's only 43%. And when you're only 43%, we still have so many people out there who are vulnerable to catching the disease. Now, most people get the disease, will get over it, but that small percentage that get it and get really sick, they can get so very sick.
Are we near the bottom for Western Oregon for the percentage of people that are vaccinated?
No, actually, all of Southwest Oregon and much of Eastern Oregon have relatively low numbers. And Josephine, Jackson, Curry County, Douglas County, all in that same range here. And we're all struggling with the amount of disease.
Now, are you hearing anything on vaccinations from folks lately? Are any of the hesitant folks becoming less hesitant?
Yes, I think we're seeing some people who see lots of disease around them, and they're becoming a little less hesitant. There were two excellent studies this week that looked at people who had been vaccinated, people had the disease, and then compared that to a control population. And getting the vaccine, there are some side effects, but those same side effects, myocarditis or clotting problems, are many times more likely if you get the disease. So yes, you make it the side effect if you get the vaccine, but if you don't get the vaccine and get the disease, you're much more likely to have those side effects. So those are two excellent studies done in Israel and the UK that people really should look at and really should give people a boost of confidence in getting the vaccine.
So with that 18 above number at 53%, how does that compare to other regions in Oregon, like Portland, maybe Eugene, Salem, mm-hmm. places like that?
Right, many of those are over 60, and there are some places that are as high as 68%. And the difference is when you go from, when you go up 10 or 20 points in the vaccine percent, and it's just that much less kindling for this virus to ignite. I mean, what happens when you have a lot of unvaccinated people together, it just spreads so very quickly.
What about the hospital situation in the Rogue Valley and in Central Oregon? What are you hearing?
So we look at the hospital fullness in each of those areas and the hospital capacity. The hospital capacity in the state is just nearly at a record, came down a little bit yesterday. Today's not yet published. And in Region 3 and Region 5, it's just about at capacity and moving down slightly. But, you know, we're still at a really dangerous time. Think of what it means for all of these elective surgeries to get canceled. Elective doesn't mean you don't have to do them. Elective means you don't have to do them today. But many of those surgeries are getting canceled. The other thing is, if you would happen to get into a bad car wreck, cut your finger off in the shop, the system is so overloaded that you might wait to get care.
I'm looking at a number from 4 days ago on the available beds in the various regions, and one of the things I was struck by, I think this is what came out on Friday, is that there were, for instance, Region 5 to the south, I believe, had one ICU bed available. Region 6, Region 7, each had two. That was it for the entire region.
Yeah, and those regions are big regions. So this really puts us at a scary time. I mean, think about what would happen if there's a bad car wreck. Think of what happens if there's a fire and there people get burned. That we just are leaving ourselves so little margin of error.
Going to take a break. More with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1, True Wealth Radio with David Littlejohn of Littlejohn Financial coming up, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Dr. Jason Gray, Chief Medical Officer at Mercy Medical Center, and Respiratory Therapist Manager David Kalish talking about how things are going at the hospital right now with this surge in COVID-19 hospitalizations. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us again today. Talk about other areas of the state of Oregon that are hard hit right now, along with Douglas County.
Well, Douglas County is hard hit, but also Josephine, Jackson, and Curry counties. And then on the Washington border up in the Umatilla-Morrow area, they're also having a lot of cases. And again, the thing that's striking is that the places that are struggling the most are the ones with the low vaccine rates. Portland, Hood River County, Clackamas County, not doing badly at all. In fact, there have been several days when we've had more cases than Multnomah County, although they have far more people, because they have a much better vaccination rate. And again, it's not shocking. For example, we have 16 current long-term care facility outbreaks. In 15 of the 16, an unvaccinated worker brought it in, infected other unvaccinated workers and patients. In the one where the person was vaccinated, they brought it in, but it kind of died out right there because so many people were vaccinated. So it not only is the overall vaccination rate, it's the vaccination rate of the people you hang out with.
What about the national rate right now? Are there particular hot spots in the country?
So over the last 8 weeks, we've been following this evolving disaster. Started in Missouri, moved to Arkansas, and then to Louisiana. Just tremendous overwhelming of those systems. And they appear to have peaked and are on the way down. But now it's spreading through much of the southeast of the country, including Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, and West Virginia. And now those places are also struggling with a tremendous amount of disease. And in many of those areas, the hospitals are quite overwhelmed.
What about the world picture right now? Where are countries not doing so well?
Well, overall in the world, the number of cases is about flat, because the number of cases in Latin America, who has really struggled with those for the last 10 months or so, are now starting to decline, but cases in the U.S. are increasing. Europe is in general doing okay, but they started a little late on the vaccine game, but already they have a lot more vaccination than we do here. We're seeing a lot of disease in Iran, which is worrisome because it borders Pakistan and Afghanistan, two really worrisome areas. And then we're seeing scattered outbreaks in Asia. And the one we worry probably the most is about in Malaysia, because Malaysia is responsible for making most of the gloves in the world. And so if they really have a bad outbreak and shutdowns, we might start to see this supply disruption in medical gloves.
Let's talk about a treatment. One of the things that I came across the other day in the county update, monoclonal, I'm not even sure I'm saying that right, antibody treatment for COVID-19. I saw the post the other day. What can you tell us about that?
So those antibodies are antibodies that were raised against the spike protein. And then those antibodies were grown in the laboratory and then purified. And so what you can do is you can give people an infusion or an injection of this concentrated antibody supply. And that works pretty amazingly great. Probably decreases hospitalizations by half or more, reduces deaths maybe by half or more. A recent study came out this week suggesting it might even be better than that. And again, this is not surprising. This would be similar to the immune globulin that we use. If, for example, you had a needle stick and the person had hepatitis B, you'd use something called hepatitis B immune globulin, and this is just like that. So this is something we've been hoping for. The first few kind of preparations didn't work out so great, but this newest one from Regeneron seems to be really quite good, and we're recommending it. It's being given at Mercy and given at Evergreen, and so it's good, but not as good as the vaccine, and it's only after you get the disease. So we're still recommending people get the vaccine. If they are unlucky enough to get the disease and they're in a high-risk group, we would also recommend the use of this Regeneron monoclonal antibody.
So is there some criteria for qualifying, along with having tested positive, other things that would make you eligible for it?
So it's a complicated list of high-risk conditions. So people who would be more likely to get ill, elderly, and people with underlying health conditions. So clearly, if you test positive, you should talk to your doctor to see if you are a candidate for getting these antibody infusions.
And this is something that at least I hadn't really heard about recently. Has it been out there more on the quiet side of information?
So it's been out there. Actually, the president, Trump, when he got COVID, got some of the very, very earliest samples. Over the last few months, it's come up in the amount, in the amount that's available. And so now it is more widely available, and we're really encouraging people who are at risk to get it.
Because I know sometimes if people have tested positive, they kind of fear the worst and are not always out there seeking information. In fact, as you said, some folks are testing positive but not even talking to their doctor.
Right. So I think if you test positive and you're in a high risk, you should do it. The problem, unfortunately, is that these are somewhat cumbersome to give. So we probably in Douglas County cannot give more than 5 or 10 doses a day. But with 180 or 200 cases, new cases a day, there's just not enough capacity to give Regeneron to everyone who would benefit from it. So we need to bring our case count way down. And the goal would be if we could bring our case count way down to 20 or 30 a day, that everyone who was at higher risk and was deserving of Regeneron would get it.
One of the questions that I get periodically from folks who have had COVID and gotten through it and find themselves on the other side, they have said they don't think they want to get vaccinated with the antibodies. They don't think they need to. How do you respond?
So the story is that natural infection does give you pretty good protection. And so we do know that people who have had a natural infection typically are not infected in the next 90 days. However, we see a lot of people who were infected 6 or 8 or 9 months ago who get the disease again. So the immunity that you get from the natural infection is good, but not as good as from the vaccine. And certainly I wouldn't call it great. What we are also noticing is that if you get the vaccine and then if you get the disease and then get a vaccine, that's the very best protection. So what we're recommending that, yes, you have some protection from the disease, but if you want the best protection, after you have the disease, we would recommend that you get vaccinated.
Are there new things out there about this virus that have been out there that you've learned recently?
Well, we always worry about new variants, and there's a new one called C.1.2 in South Africa, there's the Lambda variant in South America, and we're watching them carefully. They do not appear to be big players at this point, but we'll watch them carefully because both of them have the ability to evade the vaccine better than the Delta variant. So the Delta variant is decreased the vaccine efficiency by about 10%, which still means the vaccine efficiency is pretty good. But if you had a new variant out there that decreased the vaccine efficiency by 40%, that would be really, really dangerous.
About a minute or so left with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer here on Inside Douglas County. As we look at the local situation again, along with you've talked about the vaccination efforts, what things should people be doing to stay safe?
Well, we really want people to stay safe. With the amount of disease that's circulating now, if you're unvaccinated, the risk of you getting disease is very high. So we would like people to, if they can, stay home. If you can't, then to avoid crowded areas. If you have a meeting or something, please do it outside. Outside is so much safer than indoors. If you are sick, please stay home. Three times today where a big outbreak started because somebody went to work or school thinking that it was just a sinus infection and spread it to a bunch of people. So if you're sick, please stay home until either you're better or have a negative test. And then we think masks are not perfect, but they certainly help. So we're asking people to use masks in addition, and please get vaccinated. I mean, those numbers today of 103 out of 109 not being vaccinated should spur everyone who's not vaccinated to go get your vaccine.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Denenhofer. Thanks for being on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.